Well, I want to start by just really thanking everyone, and especially Mike and Diane, for making it possible for us to make the move that we just made.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, everyone.
We had it in our heart to move to the Phoenix area for several years, and we never really even talked much about it. We just both knew that that's where we'd like to be. And one day, a couple months ago, the person that we rent from said they needed to sell our house. And so we had no idea what we were going to do, because literally we couldn't even afford to move from somewhere in town. I mean, we do well financially. We're well taken care of, but there's usually not enough to make a move like that. So I called Mike, and I called Mike for one reason. Mike usually gets us plane tickets real early to come here. And so I called him and I said, "Mike, don't buy any plane tickets yet." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because we're moving and we don't know where we're going to be yet." So he said, "Well, where do you want to be?" I said, "Well, we really want to be in Phoenix, but we really can't make that happen." And I don't know exactly what he said, but it was something like, "Well, let's make this happen, if that's where you want to be." And then he asked me, he said, "Do you mind if I do a fundraiser for you?" And I really hesitated at that, because, as most of you know, we've been in ministry for many years and never asked for anything. It's just not in my heart to charge people for anything that we do. And so I had to really think about it. But then I realized this is a provision that's being made for us, and we should accept it. And so we did. And we've been blessed beyond measure, just being where our hearts have longed to be for so long. And I know many of you here had a part in that, and we just wanted to tell you our thanks and appreciation for that. Now, as I like to do, if we could just have a moment of silence. And the reason I do that is my mind is so full, even this morning, because of all the fellowship and all the harassment that we've taken from somebody over here. And so when I silence my mind, and that's not possible in the natural, but when I can come into the silence, it just clears. A lot of people ask me, "How do you quiet your mind?" Well, to begin with, you don't try to clear it. But there are some practices that you can do that will help. And one of those is sitting in the quiet. And as you sit in the quiet, your mind may race like crazy. Don't try to stop it, and don't fight it. As Mike said yesterday, just don't go there. Don't focus on what your mind is trying to get you to focus on. And the one way that I've found, and many others all over the world have found, the key to really help silence your mind is to be quiet and breathe deeply. And as you breathe deeply, you focus everything on your breath. And when you're breathing deeply and focusing on your breath, it makes it a lot more difficult for your mind to take control. So if we can, just for a minute, go into the quiet. And it's in the quiet that I find that peace that passes all understanding. It's in the quiet where I get my encouragement every day. It's in the quiet when I begin to have things revealed to me. And I used to say it was God speaking to me because that's all I knew. But one day I realized what I was hearing when I was in the silence was my own essence, what we call the spirit within me, is where I was hearing and getting my information. And that's why years ago I did a message I called the Infallible Guidance System. Because when you can sit in the silence and you begin to hear what we call the voice, a lot of times I don't hear a voice. It's almost like a flash of light. You know, when you're in a thunderstorm and you see a flash of light and it just lights up everything around you. Well, that's what I experience sometimes in the silence. It'll just be a flash. And all of a sudden I understand something or I see something that I've never even thought before. And if we can learn, and we can learn, to hear what our own spirit will reveal to us, it will bring many things into your life that you've longed for. It's so much different than going to church and just hearing a good sermon. And when I first began to experience this, I couldn't go to anybody. I tried, but I couldn't go to anybody and tell them what I was hearing, because it was, to them, it was not scriptural and had nothing to do with the religious teachings. The Christ story, the story of Jesus being born in a manger and sent as the Savior of the world, that was never, ever intended to be about one man. The Jesus story is your story. I often share it this way. There's a scripture that says, "Unto you a child is born, and a son is given." Now, this is your experience. And if you don't know it now, one day you will know it. My mother had a baby, but I was given. I was the son that was given. As Jesus came into the world to reveal the heart of the Father and to show the way to come out of your humanity and to reveal the true heart of God, that is your journey. You are a son or a daughter that was given at your birth. I say it's a sad thing, but I'm sure it isn't. But to me, it's a sad thing that when I was born, I came here from the very realms of glory. And like Jesus, I prayed, "Father, please reveal to me the glory that I had with you before I came here. And believe me, you can know. You can know." We were taught that Jesus is something that we were not. He was born without sin. And then we're taught that you as a baby were born in sin. That you took on Adam's fallen nature. And I got to say this, Kay Fairchild, in her latest messages, has given one of the most revealing and astounding messages on how you are not in Adam and you never were in Adam, but you are in Christ. Amen. It's amazing what she's revealing. You see, Jesus was not born to save you. You never needed salvation. Now, I understand what that does to the religious mind. But you were born as Jesus was to reveal the truth of your true being and of the love of the Father. He definitely did not go to the cross because you were such a sinner. The cross is about revealing that nothing can kill you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You know, and I used to hear that in church all the time. Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But then if you don't live right, and if you don't do right, God is going to have to banish you. This is going to sound so foreign to people, but I'm telling you, the only Savior you need is within you. The Savior outside of you is not going to help you. The Scripture says that my help comes from the Lord. Well, where is that? Where is that help? I used to look for it to come down out of the heavens. Where is that help? The only place you'll find it is within you. And I know how that sounds, saying you are your own Savior. But if you don't discover that and experience that, you will never come out of the bondage of the prison of the mind and the bondage of religious teaching. And really, this is what it means to be born again. I love what Mike's been sharing. I wanted for so many years to control my life. But I really discovered that you cannot control life. If I could have controlled life, I would be vibrant, I would be healthy, I would be all the things that, you know, the natural person wants to be. Yet, if I had been born healthy and raised healthy and not had the trials and the tribulations I've been through, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have the truth that I have today. That's why, really, in my heart, I am grateful for every trial, every tribulation, every church that I've ever went to, all the deception that I've been in, all the false teaching I've been in, all the stuff I've read that was just false, because all of that has brought me to the place where I am today. Don't ever fight against your circumstances. Carol and I have been married for about 34 years, and she will tell you, we never complain about anything. Because when you discover you can't control life, you accept it and let it flow. Because life flowing through you without any resistance at all will bring you to where you need to be, no matter what you need. I had a hard time accepting this many years ago, that everything happened to me was for my good, because I'd been through a lot. But when I discovered the truth that nothing touches me except it comes through by divine providence, and one of the greatest reliefs you can experience is when you stop resisting and stop trying to control the circumstances that come in your life. If something that I would consider bad comes into my life, my first thought is, this is just a new adventure. It's a new revelation. And you don't question why. Years ago, I was taught to fight the devil. I did that for a long time. Somebody asked me yesterday about the devil. And I said, well, you want to see the devil? You think he's a literal creature? You want to see the devil? Go look in the mirror. Because in the mirror, you'll see one of two things. You'll see the human, which is the adversary to the spiritual life. You'll either see the human or you'll see Christ. And when you can look in the mirror and see Christ, you'll realize the devil is just a fable, like so many other things that we've been taught. The whole Christian thing is all about outward performance. You know, it's not just about believing in a man, Jesus, that lived 2,000 years ago. Now, I want to say something about that, the name Jesus. Many people are upset today when you talk about Jesus. I can tell you I'm not one of them. And I don't worship him. And he's not my idol. But I appreciate so much what I've learned and experience by meditating on that man. Jesus was not a God, as you are not a God, but within him dwelt the allness, what is called the Christ, and he functioned not from his humanity, but from the Christ that was in him. And that's why he would say, I of mine own self can do nothing. It took me years to understand what he meant because I had to try for 13 years to discover I can't do anything. All of the things that I was in bondage to, I couldn't overcome any of them until I learned that I myself can do nothing. And when I had the full understanding of that, as when I realized that everything I had tried to become, I already was. So you can't become something that you are. You just have to begin to live from the truth of your being. And if you don't ever believe the truth of your being, you will never come out of human captivity. The biggest prison in the whole world is the mind between your ears. That's the prison that'll convince you, like it did me for years, that you will never overcome. Look at you. You can't even overcome a little thing like a cigarette habit. You can't stop going into places where you know you shouldn't go. But see, that's the devil between your ears. I often share it this way. The devil, if you want to call it that, is the mind that is always accusing the spirit in your heart. So it's not just about believing in a man called Jesus, but it's about the revelation of I that I am is the I that you are. That's the real oneness. And a lot of people don't You like Mike said, you can't understand oneness. Because I look out here and I see many people. I think the best illustration we have of oneness is what Jesus taught about the vine and the branches. How many branches are on a vine?
A lot. It's tangled up.
See, you see many branches on a vine. But what is the truth of the vine? The truth of the vine is it's only one life that flows through that vine. You don't look at the branch and consider it an individual expression of the vine. And when you understand, you can look at all of humanity, the branches of the vine, and realize there's only one life. And if you see something different than one life, it's because you're not understanding the truth and you're not looking with a single eye. If your eye is single, Jesus said, your whole body will be full of light. So if you can look at the many branches of the vine, it's not that you don't see the flaws and the errors, but you have to look beyond the physical and not judge according to appearances, but you know that the life is in the vine. There is no one that does not have the divine, magnificent, beautiful essence of the life of the vine. And again, that's what it means to be born again. You begin to live by the life that's really life. It's really hard to realize that there is no you. I understand that. It's very difficult. Because all of our life we've lived believing that we are an individual and we have all of our personality and all of our traits and all that. But yet, there's scripture to prove that you don't live. One that comes to me right now is, your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead, but your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, that life is hid. Where is it? And when you can accept the fact that you are a walking dead man, you can find the secret of his life within you. It'll be revealed to you. You begin to walk in an unbelievable awareness of the truth of who you are. And that's why I so appreciate the man Jesus. And I have to say this, and this is just my opinion, but so many people today are saying, well, Jesus never existed. And I say, that's okay to believe that if you want to believe that. But for me, I can't say that. Yet I have some very dear friends that believe that. And they even gave me a book that explains a lot of stuff about how Jesus can't be real. Yet somebody else gave me a book explaining how Jesus was real and had all the evidence. And the so, you know, and that's religion for you. When you're trying to discover truth by what you learn, you will never learn it. It can't be taught. You cannot be taught how to live life. It has to be revealed within you. I've told people for years, I can't teach you anything. You know, we are not teachers. But in ministering, as we minister to one another, if something resonates within you and you recognize that as truth, I haven't taught you that. You just know that's true. I can't tell you how many people over the years have written to me and said, I've had the thought, and in a sense, I've known for years what you teach, but I could never be sure because I never had a witness. I always thought maybe I'm being deceived, especially if you listen to preachers. When you realize the depth of your being, and you realize that you can't change anybody, but you can speak words of spirit and life. And as the words that you speak, you know, even Jesus said, you are clean, not by your works, not by what you believe, but you're clean through the word that I've spoken to you. The only way anybody goes from a life of selfishness and all of this stuff we say is sin, the only way they get out of that is by hearing that within themselves. If it could be taught, if the Christian life could be taught, we should all be in heaven by now. And the truth is, you are already in heaven. Jesus said this, and this is worth meditating on. No man comes down from heaven except he that is in heaven. So what he was saying is, as I'm here on the earth speaking to you, I'm in the heavenlies. That doesn't mean some far off planet somewhere. It simply means he that realizes that he came down from heaven has begun to realize there's a higher consciousness, a higher awareness of the truth of their being. That's why in many cases you'll hear that some of the prophets were taken to a high mountain. It's not a literal mountain. The height is the higher consciousness. When John said he saw the New Jerusalem, the city of God, coming down out of heaven, it wasn't a planet falling out of the sky. It was a revelation of the truth of your being descending into your awareness of being the city of God. You don't wait for the city of God. You are the city of God. That's why, you know, I say over and over and over again, if you ever one time see the truth of your being, you will never again consider yourself to be just a human. I'm pretty sure I told this the last time I was here, but it's so worth repeating. I knew a man who was in bed at night, and he was awakened by the most beautiful, awesome, magnificent being of light, a person who just glowed with the light of God. And this person said to him, who are you? And he said, I am you. It was revealed to him the truth and the magnificence of his own being. We so need to be able to look beyond the physical. living in oneness, we have to see beyond our differences. What does love, genuine love, have to do with differences? I've often said, you know what? I don't care if you worship a frog. I really don't. And there are people who do crazy things, worship a statue. But listen, I know. I only have to spend a few minutes with you, and I can discern your heart. And if I know your heart is after truth, if I know you're seeking the truth, that's all I care about. What does love have to do with all the division and all the animosity and all the disagreements? I forget now, but you know, there are thousands, I mean thousands, of different Christian churches that all think they have the truth. And they all do have a part of truth, most of them do. But the problem is they think they're part of truth that they have. It separates them from everyone else that doesn't believe like them. And then they worship Jesus as though he was something that they cannot be. He has such an... And then we're deemed guilty because we're different than him. But yet, he has such an advantage over us. He was born without sin. And then we're expected to be like him, and we were born in sin, sold into slavery. And so it puts him at a high advantage over us that we're trying to attain. Yet if churches would reveal the truth to you, that as he is, so are you. That's scripture. As he is, so are you. And you are dead. Some of you are walking around, but you're still dead and don't know it. I tell people all the time, stop trying to kill yourself. You're already dead. You're not alive, you're dead. And what happens when you descend from the realms of glory? That's when you died. You died to everything you were. You were blinded to your essence. You forgot where you came from. And then you were raised as a personality. For me, I was named Gary. And I developed this human personality, not from the heavenly realms, but from my parents, from my teachers, from the consciousness of the world. I just automatically grew up not knowing the truth of my being. And when you discover the truth, listen, you can allow people to be different. It doesn't hurt you. I've had two of the most famous kingdom ministries, and if I named them, you probably know them, I know of them, that both told me, Gary, we have to separate ourselves from you. Because, and they both said almost the same thing. They said, God has revealed to me that I must keep my ministry pure. So that meant if they associated with me, they would receive a mixture. They called it New Age. We can't accept your New Age teachings because we are to keep our ministry pure. That sounds a hell of a lot like a big ego to me. Yeah. I was asked to teach at a New Age convention one day. And another one of my associate ministers at the time, he said, Gary, you can't do that. I said, why can't I do that? He said, it'll ruin your reputation. And I said, brother, I don't have a reputation. And if I do, it needs to be ruined. I don't remember if it was Carol or somebody spoke to me about a gay church. And they asked her if I would come and minister there. I said, why wouldn't I? How can you divide and separate? You say you love Jesus. And that, you know what, that may be true. You may love him, but you just don't do what he says. And out of his own mouth, he said, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? You can't find hardly any, there are some, but hardly any Christians who live the life that he taught. All they know is their own doctrine that separates and divides. And like I said yesterday, I love the scriptures. I really do. But there's two ways you can take scripture. Literal. There's a literal interpretation and there's a spiritual interpretation. And once your eyes are open to see that the scriptures are an allegory, it's not only Jesus who reveals to you your inner life, all the scriptures will reveal to you the path that you are on. Yet we take it literal and we believe things that are absolutely ridiculous. Like Jonah living in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. And because it's scriptural, we believe it. Don't realize what it's representing is that when you get out of the way or you need any kind of correction, there's a whale for you. And it's called circumstances. Being swallowed up by a whale, he called it hell. Well, that's what hell is. You living in your circumstances. That's hell. But we're taught by religion that we can, you know, suffer the hell of our human life for years and then die and suffer for eternity. Oh my God, it's no wonder it's so difficult for people to accept the truth. You know, the Christian is no different than the radical, what we call the radical Islam. Because they truly believe, you know they believe it, that if they strap a bomb on themselves and blow up a few people, that they've got a bunch of virgins waiting for them in heaven. Christians are just as crazy in the things that they believe. One of the things that caused all of the kingdom ministries to come against me is when I began to share that you don't need to know Jesus to be saved. I mean, that put me as an outcast right away. And all I was trying to reveal to them is, you don't have to know anything. You don't have to know the scriptures. You don't have to read the Bible. And I said, supposing you were raised in a place like India. Yet in you, there's a desire. In you, you recognize there has to be something greater than me. And so within, there's something crying out to know the truth. The same thing will happen to you as happened to me when I said, Jesus, I receive you. It's not knowing the truth, it's being the truth. That was the end of my ministerial career. Just by saying, you don't have to know correctly, you have to have a heart that wants to know. Yet, There's Christian ministries all over our nation that will say people in India, Africa, and different nations, they're dying and gone to hell because you don't preach Jesus to them. Yeah. Why would you want to be a part of that? Yeah. Carol and I had a horrible time when we wanted to leave church. We knew we had to leave church. Yet it was so much a part of us. I mean, for years we lived for church. And we started out by, we always liked worship, so we'd go to church for the worship service, and when the preacher got up, we'd get up and leave. But when we finally broke free of that bondage of having to go to church, boy, has our life been better. You get up on Sunday morning, and if you want to go boating, you go boating. See, this is what true spiritual life is about. It's about keeping you in a state of joy and happiness. See, that's foreign to the Christian. In a Christian's mind, to be holy, you have to suffer. We all know Mother Teresa is one of the most respected women in the world. She worked among the worst classes of people. She would hold lepers and she'd hug them. She literally had the love of God flowing from her being. Yet in her mind, to be religious, you had to suffer. You know, up to her death, she wouldn't even sleep on a bed. She didn't deserve a bed. She had to sleep on the hard floor. Another famous woman, very spiritual woman, was Madame Guyon. If you read her autobiography, I mean, this woman absolutely loved God. But she believed that you had to suffer. And she would literally pray for suffering, because she thought that is what would transform her. And it did. But I say this. Most of us, myself included, I've suffered terribly. But I didn't have to. If we could just from a child be taught the truth of our being and be taught properly. And there are children today being born that know the truth and they won't suffer. They're born knowing the truth of where they came from. We've been so veiled by religious teachings. I want to read one thing to you and then I'll close. 1 John 3:2. Dearly beloved, we are now the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Now, I used to think that meant, oh boy, when I see Jesus coming from the eastern skies and I look at him, it's going to make me just like him. That's a fantasy. When he appears to you, it'll be within you. And when he appears within you, not speaking of a man, Jesus, but he's speaking of Christ, the Spirit, the anointing, the essence. When he appears in you, that's why you'll be like him. Some people will look at you and think you're special. And you know the truth. I'm not anything. I will never be anything. I don't want to be anything. Carol can tell you for years, I've told her, I don't want to preach. I'm a very quiet, and I like to be quiet. I don't even like to talk. You call me on the phone, I have a hard time talking. So why would I want to get up and speak before crowds of people? I don't. And the only reason I do is because of the results that come from it. If it wasn't for that, I'd quit today. We will never become God. But the essence, the magnificence, the glory of all that is within you and will flow from you. And wherever that river flows, it blesses. Amen.